doesn't sound like the usual mindless, boring, getting to know you chit chat. That sounds like you actually have something to say.
Well, maybe.
Why are we having these conversations? What the hell am I doing here?
It's always weird when you go to when you're in London, you walk past train stations or nightclubs in the morning and see them people coming out. My gym, I've been going for a bit of a fitness thing lately. I did the Tough Mudder the other week.
Oh really?
I've been training, but my gym, I have to walk past the Wetherspoons.
Oh,
there's really, it's a really good thing to sort of like, you're thinking, oh, that's where I could be.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, I walk past it with like a smugness.
A nice looking down. Yeah. I always look at. There's a quite a rough, like near where I live, and on the top of a Highbury roundabout, there's a pub called the White Swan, and it's like notorious, like massive spoons, and literally it's like, it's one of them where they're queuing up in the morning, you know, it's like just as it opens, it's like 11 a.m. or whatever it is, you see it like round the block, and honestly you think it's like a nightclub or something people are queuing for, and then you realise it's the spoons and they open all day.
Where are you from?
I grew up in North London. Just literally just off the Archway Road.
So was that your sort of first, were you that spoons drinker as a young? It's a young person's thing and it's an old pisshead thing. It's like that sort of weird.
Yeah, like it's just pubs. To be honest, it was just like local pubs. Whatever pub you could get in El Clasico, you do the old, do you ever have the sort of European driving license? If Lithuanian.
No, I had a girlfriend at the time and I borrowed her older brother's ID.
Oh.
We look nothing alike.
That's the dream. That's the dream.
Brown hair. It's a similarity.
I remember being a kid and what you do is like, you on a website, right? Yeah. You put 20 quid in an envelope and you would send it with a passport, like passport stamp picture of you, and you just send it off and you had about a 1 in 3 chance of an ID coming back. But you do it, like, I remember doing it like twice, and like one time no ID, second time yes, and you're like, it's worth it.
That's good. But actually, that's a good feeling though, isn't it, when you used to go abroad, like it was like 15, 16, you get served.
Yeah.
So there was like no issue ever, was it?
Yeah.
That's weird, isn't it?
Well, it's just like abroad, they don't care, is it?
Is that because they don't care? But what about their own people from that country? Do they care if... Was that just not done? It's because we're British.
I think it's just European. It's
But I remember that feeling of saying, did you ever used to send like your... Do you remember standing outside a shop?
Yeah.
And seeing, waiting for a bloke?
And asking him.
Yeah.
Like, oh, mate, can you...
It's always been having to ask the bloke was always awkward, wouldn't it?
Yeah. They would normally do it though. I always did fine. Like very, if you like, maybe one person would be like no, but like in general they would just do it. They don't care.
Or you had that like one really, really strangely hairy friend.
Yeah.
Send a hairy friend in to go and get it.
Oh, and my mate Finn, he looked like 25 from the age of about like 50.
You get that, didn't you?
Yeah, and he...
Strangely big dicks.
Yeah.
You'd be there with your
little pecker. Yeah.
And this little 13-year-old with a big man dick. And what is that?
Yeah. And he would, he found an ID on the floor, literally like on the ground of this, it was like some Australian driving license, this bloke called Kim Edwards. It made him about 26 on the license. And he was like 15, 16, but it worked like a charm and he was just getting in everywhere.
But I remember there was like little bouncer tricks to trip you up. They'd go like, what's your star sign? Because you'd make everything. But all I'd do was just add a year to my actual... Say I was 17.
Yeah.
Like 1988. I'd just say 87.
Yeah.
And if you ask my star sign, it's still the same star sign.
I'm dyslexic. If I got any, I'm having a fucking meltdown.
The panic.
Like absolute breakdown.
But yeah, the feeling of getting that thing when they check the ID and you can come in. It's fucking feeling that was.
Freedom.
Yeah.
Right. Have we started?
We started.
Oh, shit. I didn't realise. I thought you were going to do an intro. Oh, shit. Oh, sorry.
That's how. I'll catch you up.
We're just swatting in. Yeah. No, I used to that kind of thing. I remember being in a bar in somewhere in South London. I think it was in Brixton, right, with my mates. And we went to a pub and then I had a fake ID, right? And the bouncer took one look at it, right? And it was like, and he just took it and he's just like, nope. And he's like, that's fake. Yeah. And I was like, oh, my whole night's ruined. I was meant to go out to like other places afterwards. Like I had with all my mates and everything. And then to the bouncer, I was like, please, 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 can I have it back? Right. And then the bar guy was like, meet me outside. And in hindsight, what a prick for doing this. He was like, if you give me 50 quid, I'll give it back to you. Yeah, so I had to go whip round my mates, all cough up, all get the money, and then pay and get the ID back.
Well, this is a bit of a generalisation.
Yeah,
bouncers, just
cunts.
Bad people, yeah. man. Yeah. So, I always remember in school, there's always like a girl getting pregnant. Who was it? A bouncer.
A bouncer or PE teacher. Yeah. That's it. No.
Yeah. Always getting pregnant by bouncers all the time. And then the people they're in charge of our safety. Yeah. And then you get the ones who, they're not looking after your safety. No. They want to punch someone.
Yeah, they just want to fight. Yeah, they're up for it. And it's like their dream to be like, not tonight, boys. Not tonight, boys. Do you ever go out in like central London when you were younger? Do you ever go one of them, like, you know, you ever, oh, what was it? What are those clubs called? It's like Movida, like those like fancy central London.
I remember
clubs.
That ones like Piccadilly Circus.
Literally, I remember, and one of them, it was one of them where you had to bring a girl or you got no chance. You've got no chance whatsoever. Yeah. And I remember like queuing up with like a big group of lads, literally getting to the front and like this like twat with a clipboard, just like, not tonight. And we're like, what? Yeah. And we were like, we've queued, we can pay. And they're like, not tonight, lads. That was it. And just like, off you go, boys. Off
horrible
go.
Feeling.
Yeah, just slammingly rejected.
Is that thing as well? We used to go, because how old are you?
I just turned 30.
30. So you're so similar sort of way. But did you have? Was it shoes a thing?
Yeah. You couldn't rock up in trainers.
He's going your school shoes. So your school shoes.
The shittiest. You're like your dad's work shoes. You like
the rules they make to get him a shoe. Your trainers are nicer.
Yeah.
Than the shit shoes they make you wear.
Well, now I think there was like a bit of a, because I reckon now like people
trainers are fine.
Yeah,
now,
you're going in like designer trainers or whatever. Yeah. People going out, but like now, back then it was like, no, you got to have your
shoes. It was a shirt thing as well. Shoes and shirt.
Shoes.
Shoes and shirt, jupe. You're wearing jupe, bit of Lynx, Africa.
Yeah, everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. But then we used to have a Thursday night. Because Thursday night was all student night.
Yeah.
Places are just student nights.
Yeah.
You know I mean? And I was never a student.
Yeah.
I just used to ride on the back.
Yeah.
Just tackle. You know I mean, just, I'm not a student, but I'm going to come along.
I remember there used to be a student night in central London called Cheapskates.
Cheapskates.
People know it. Yeah. That place was like, it was like the cheapest place you could drink in London. I think it was like maybe like £2 for a drink or something.
Yeah.
Or like maybe £3, whatever. But like for London, you're like, fucking amazing.
Yeah.
But like we'd just pack it out to a point of like it was like so, or like just like you crammed in there, and then they'd have a smoking section out the back, right? And like to keep the turnover high, because everyone kept wanting to go out, they had a whistle, and a woman would blow a whistle when your time was up, like it was like a prison camp, and you'd have to get back inside and then switch it out, rotating people to smoke.
Fucking hell.
Fucking wild.
But I remember that, like back in them days of like going, when you first start going out, like 18, 19, I always remember saying this thing, like, because your main thing was to get girls, go out and get girls. And I remember thinking like, oh, why didn't I pool last night? Mm. And then you look at photos of yourself, like fucking, like the most awful.
Yeah.
Like
probably because you were wearing a shirt with a collar on like this, mate, and you're like an idiot.
You're like pale, and spot, like too much gel in your hair. But I remember there was like, when I first started going out, so like, I can't work out, so what, 2006?
Yeah.
Something like that, right? There was like this, the fashion was fucking
so
it's
bad.
Like, it's like you'd been kicked through Top Man.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? He's never like, remember, do you remember like pointy shoes?
Pointy shoes. And I remember also like people wearing that like t-shirt with Rihanna on. Remember that t-shirt with Rihanna?
But I remember one because like Geordie Shore was big, and there was the V-neck. My mate once said it, the V-neck is so low, your cock and bollocks hung over the top of the neckline.
All that Geordie Shore fashion was so terrible.
It was like, bad. But there was this phase of like, I remember that the soundtrack to it was Justin Timberlake's second album.
Yeah.
So you'd have blokes with like, it'd be like a V-neck, waistcoat, rosary beads.
Waistcoat's a strong look. Yeah, no one's doing the waistcoat anymore.
Waistcoat and t-shirt.
Yeah.
And there was like, blokes had like sort of like McFly hair.
Like a thin thing
on the back.
Yeah.
Spiky. Mm. But the thing is, like, there was the lads who sort of done, and there's, I remember, All Saints boots, like jeans tucked into All Saints boots.
All Saints as well. Stephen,
But so there was that, but then it looked shit anyway, but people used to get it right, and that was look. But then people like me used to get it so wrong. Do you know what I mean? Like, I did like the Primark version of that.
And also,
a terrible look was always the pointy shoes, but jeans where you used to stand on the back of your jeans.
Oh, that was the worst.
The
disgusting, shitty end of your jeans as well. That and sagging. No one sags anymore. Do you remember that? Do you remember like kids, like everyone wear their jeans like really low down?
Oh, yeah.
That was a weird look as well.
Because there was like the grunger vibes, though, wasn't there? Do you remember the grunger vibes?
Like, well, it was like emo kids. And,
yeah,
like,
is that? Because I was never that. I was more like sort of Reebok classics
type thing. Shiny.
But it's weird how we're at that age now where that's like retro, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the thing.
It's horrible to think about how old we are. It's just like, also like, I think if you try and speak to kids and that, like, if you talk to like an 18, so like my partner's got a younger sister who's like 18, like trying to speak to an 18-year-old now, you've got no idea, mate. You are so detached from what they find cool and interesting.
Well,
and
this is the weird thing, the weird dynamic me and you have got, though, being on TikTok.
Yeah.
It's getting older people now, but you'll realise, like, if you're getting like hate or just some sort of weird comments, it's just that age.
Yeah.
And you trying to work that out.
Yeah.
Because you're so detached from what that is and what they're thinking. And like, do not get into an argument with a 15-year-old.
No. It's not.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you can't. It's ridiculous, isn't it? Like,
it's what young people care about as well. I think they just care about like different things to what we care about. Like,
yeah.
They're all very political. Like, you know, like, like when we were younger, I don't remember. Maybe it was a thing, but like, I don't remember like. Like, people just instantly would have a go at your like political state. People would be like, you're a fucking Tory or whatever. I was like, I don't remember anyone using that as an insult. You know, that was never...
Yeah,
like,
point.
You know, no one would ever, like, use your political standing as an insult. Yeah. Like, never. Like, you'd be like, you're a bender or, like, you're a dickhead or whatever. Yeah. Like,
you're not wearing all
Saints. Yeah, exactly. You know, your political affiliation was never like... That. You're like, what?
Yeah, that's
really... Like, if someone used that, I'd be like, shut up, you fucking nerd. Like, what do you mean?
That's a really good point, actually. Yeah, because I just can't... I mean, do you find there's a difference between your Instagram audience and your TikTok audience?
Yeah, so they're, I think they're definitely older.
You can sense that.
Yeah, 100%. And also, like, I think also, like, TikTok's, like, someone explained it to me, it's like putting up a billboard in Leicester Square. So it's just, like, so many different demographics and people are going to see it, kind of thing. Yeah. Whereas, like, Instagram is much more your following that will see it. As opposed to, like, TikTok's, like, way wider.
Because as a user, are you more of an Instagram user or a TikTok user?
So I'm like, so for me, right, with TikTok, this is how I treat my social media. Like, TikTok, I treat like the open mic, right? So I'll do a sketch, and if it does well, I call it like a 20k barrier of shame, right? Okay, if it breaks that, then I go, okay, we can put it on Twitter, we can put it on Instagram, right? But if it doesn't break that, it's dead to me. Like, it's just it dies on TikTok and it stays there.
I'm exactly
there.
The same.
Yeah.
Exactly.
What's your barrier of shame? What is it about?
Well, you know, I don't know if I've got that, but I've got more of a, what's my ratio to views to likes?
Oh, that's probably smarter, to be honest.
Do you know what I mean? Because sometimes the algorithm just won't push it. And you mean, I don't know why. Because then something will pop off on Instagram.
That doesn't go the other way.
Because it's the demographic thing as well. People are a bit older, they might get it more. But I think that's why, like, you always see people say, oh, Instagram's dead, it's all about TikTok. But, I mean, I'm more of an Instagram user just because it just seems more personalised, doesn't it? It seems about like the stories, the DMing, you know who you're following type thing.
I think for Instagram, like, people are saying it's dead, but it's like still got like 900 million people using it. Like, it's not like
it's not bad, dead.
It's like, oh, if that's dead, then, you know, whatever. It's just TikTok's like the thing on the rise. So that's why. I think users-wise, I'm not sure what's got more. I just think one's growing and one's a bit stagnant, that's all.
I don't know. That's a way to look at it. Did you start uploading videos with the with real intention?
No. So like, I think I just uploaded stand up to begin with. Like, right. I think like a lot of people, I was just like, pandemic hit. I was like, oh, actually, weirdly, so I had Nigel Ng, who became Uncle Roger, on my podcast just before the pandemic, and he wasn't even doing anything on social media. Right. He literally had like 20,000 followers or something.
Really,
like nothing. And then he was like telling us, he was like, oh man, you got to do TikTok. And we were like, yeah, whatever, man. Yeah, cool. Oh yeah, that'll work out for you, mate. Yeah, good one. Good one. Yeah, YouTube as well. Yeah, cool, mate. Yeah. So I'm just going to stick to stand up. Whatever. Anyway, ego's nuclear, obviously, right? And then I was like, oh, well, maybe I'll give it a crack kind of thing. And then, you know, you get a few things work kind of thing, and then you just keep plowing on, don't you?
That's why you've got to learn. And the thing is as well, you're happy when people do like, oh, TikTok's for kids, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can just, if you're doing well with it, you can still go,
it's paying my bills though, isn't it? Yeah, it's paying my bills. That's what I care about. Give me that Head and Shoulders deal. give me that Domino's, whatever it is. Like, I don't care.
Exactly.
We'll see.
Exactly. Do you have to, when you get approached to do like collabs and all that, do you have to, are you like a pick and choose type person or?
No, so I'll tell you, this is good. Yeah, like, so when I first started, somewhere in the world, on Indian Tinder, basically, I pop up and I'm like, hi, I love using this Indian dating app. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you know when you flick through and you get an ad, like if you're on a dating app, that's me in India.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, I pop up. And like, stupidly as well, I went and I found the emails, and like someone explained this to me now, but like basically in that contract that I signed, basically they've got it forever. So like, right. Doesn't matter how successful I became, right? Yeah. I'm not saying I'll become successful, but it doesn't matter how successful I became, they can use that forever because I just signed off on it. Because they were like, honestly, it was like 250 quid, and I was like, you're gonna give me 250 quid to make a little video? Like, of course I'll do that, 100%. Like, I was like absolutely blown away, and like signed off on it like a mug, and now got that for life. So
wait, but when you started doing like the collabs and stuff, did you get the hate?
Oh, what?
The sellout hate and all of sort of people going, or like, because I think there's this thing of like when you do a collab, you want to make sure that you are being you in it. You got to have like,
You want to do the creative one.
Yeah. Because if you start doing things where, because the thing is, about as comedians, we're piss takers.
Yeah.
That's our thing, isn't it? It's to take the piss. So if you're doing something sincere, it's hard to pull off, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? They've got to have an understanding of
what you do and your,
Because if you're saying all this like, it's some like contractual legal shit in your comment, it just looks weird.
Yeah. If you're at the end and you're like, you can get a 1.5% return on your investment. You're like, what?
Someone made me do it once, and I just felt I don't like doing this.
But also, like, brands have got to know as well that doesn't work. That's not, no one, honestly, like, anyone watching either of our videos, it's the millisecond you start being like, I love whatever mattresses. You can get a great return on instantly. I'm like, I'm so bored, I'm done. You're signing off straight away. So, let the comedian be creative with it and think of a good idea or something that will be engaging at least, or like engage.
Well, I think some people, what they're probably doing, a brand is looking at your followers and going, who he'll do. We're actually looking at what your content's about, whatever.
Yeah.
So the ones that do work, like I've recently done one for Domino's, and it does work because I can
make that funny.
I've had a Domino's. I know what a Domino's is. I can have something to do. And then like you give your idea, it promotes them well and promotes me well.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like it's a nice relationship there.
That nice win. But it's hard to come by, and that's what I do. Yeah. So like I've written a lot of like creative and stuff for brands and stuff, and that's what I always say to them. I always say like, just trust me. Like, give it to someone who knows and let them do their thing. Because if you start giving people ideas and saying, do this, they'll always fuck it up.
Yeah.
They'll always fuck it up.
Yeah.
It's like, the people are creators. We're not like necessarily actors. We're not like playing a role. It's just like, no, it's just us. Isn't it? So we'll
it's
do
like
that.
In comedy, if someone, it's like a comedian goes, oh, you should say this. And you go, that's your joke, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's
always someone's shit who say that as well. have you ever had anyone give you advice who's not a comedian after a gig? That's the worst.
People
come up and be like, well, the thing is, mate, what you should do is, and you're like, mate, you're a fucking, you sell insurance. What are you doing? What are you talking about?
I had a guy who wrote down how ways to improve my jokes. Handed me a bit of paper. I was like, oh, cheers, man. He died before I did it. I just smashed that, man. Fuck's sake.
Was another comedian?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
No, I was like, whipped the ideas a little bit. I was just like, is this what normally happens? You know what I mean? I was like, I would always be humble and polite anyway. And
be like, oh, thank you, mate.
But I always talk about you, mate, because you was at one of my first early gigs, weren't you?
Oh, in
Brighton.
In the Brighton gig,
I didn't do very well.
It was bad.
That was one of them humbling moments, though, of like, I'm not, because I had about like, I done about four gigs.
Yeah.
And they'd all gone really well.
Mate, that's four gigs in, that's very, very good. Like, honestly, I look back at tape of me in my first year and it's just, I can't even watch it. Like, it hurts to watch. You're like, what the fuck was I doing? Like, why do I think that was funny? Like, what fucking idiot? Like, no one thought that was funny. Like, oh, man.
Yeah, but I just remember that feeling of you being there, because I think you'd recognize me from socials and all that, and then it was like, I think you had to shoot off, but you said, oh, I'm gonna hang around and watch this.
Yeah.
And I just done a shit job. And I was like, oh, just fucking kill me, man.
Comedy will crush and break your soul to a point of like no return, like so many times over. Like,
but did you ever think, I was saying this to someone the other day, it's that weird feeling, isn't it, of I had a great weekend just gone. I did a few gigs where it went really well. Mm. You know what I mean? Everyone wants to shake your hand off and all that. And then on like a few days later, I did one that just didn't die. Yeah. It just didn't go. No, it went all right. It went well. I didn't smash it, basically.
Yeah.
And then weird that feeling of doing so well just gets completely removed.
Yeah.
And then you just think, I'm just shit at this. I can't do this.
You're 1 gig away from looking at your notebook and being like, well, I've got nothing. I have no jokes. Every comedian, I think that happens with like really big people. Like, I've gigged and seen like big people off the telly do have a shit gig and go through the same thing. I think you know, it's just, doesn't matter how big you get, and that's why comedy is always so cruel, because it's like, doesn't mean you can be absolutely smashing it every single night, and then you'll just have one night where just don't work, and then people are like,
But that's where the gamble is, though, isn't it? Because that feeling of smashing is so good.
Mm.
You're willing to gamble to get that high again, aren't you? Mm. You're willing to do
put yourself out there, get on that train for
that is the crazy
getting that car share for X amount of hours.
Right. So first question. What's the worst thing you've done for money?
Worst thing I've done for money. God. So when it comes to the worst thing I've done for money, this really comes down to like, I guess it's like worst jobs I've done. Right?
Right, yeah, yeah.
So this is like the worst, these are two of the worst jobs I've ever had in my life. Okay. Right. First one was, and I honestly think the entire public of the United Kingdom should be made to do it for one day, and I think we'd all be nicer people, okay? So like, I just graduated, I had no money, absolutely broke. And then one of my mate's uncles ran a traffic management company.
Right.
So, you know, traffic management, so the people who basically lay out the cones
and
put up temporary traffic lights.
Yeah.
Right. So we were like, just on the outskirts of London somewhere, right? And basically my job was to sit in the pissing rain for 10 hours on a temporary traffic light, right? This temporary traffic light has caused like absolute backup of traffic, just so much traffic, right? So by the time that people get to you, the abuse that you will receive, never felt anything like it. And like, it's not even like, you would think it's like, oh, it's probably like big geezer blokes. It's every like type of human being. It's like old ladies, it's everyone literally winding their window being like, you're a fucking job worth cut, mate. And like, you just have to sit there like a fucking lemon on this light, just like clicking it. And it was one of the most humbling experiences I've ever had in my life. Like,
fucking
it was,
hell.
But
it's another saying that is my biggest thing that I hate, though, is digging up the roads and temporary traffic. That is annoying.
No, it's annoying. Yeah, I get it.
You're putting yourself in the firing line.
I've been the other side, and like to be fair, now because I have been through it, I am a bit more, slightly more sympathetic. Like, I probably wouldn't wind down the window and scream at a 19-year-old, "You're a cunt."
I wouldn't do that anyway. That takes a lot of anger, doesn't it?
Oh man, but people are just so mad because they've like been backed up for so long, and then they see what they see as the root of the problem, which is a 19-year-old kid sat on a temporary traffic light and they're just winding down their window, just like, get real job, you fucking cunt. Like, people like proper brutal, like, you just get a haircut and shit, like,
nothing to do with it.
Yeah, I know, like, absolutely nothing, just absolutely savaged for an hour, like, because you're like, you're making everyone late, aren't you? That's it, you're making everyone, whatever anyone's got to do, they're just gonna have a go at you.
That is the rage. I did it. I was driving back from Brighton last week for a gig, and so I have to go down the M23 back into that Croydon. And halfway down the, so it's about quarter to midnight, right, halfway down the motorway, no, this is shut.
Yeah.
So you have to turn back around. So it's like midnight, driving back towards Brighton. And there's that anger.
Oh.
It's angry. Like, I can't get zen about that moment.
Because it's making you do something that you didn't need to do. And like that is just so frustrating.
Well, just tell me back there.
Yeah.
Why are you telling me now?
Yeah.
I've just driven all the way down here.
Yeah. It's painful. It's painful. It's rough.
It's, and I had that one the other day because it was on the way there. Traffic, it was a bad evening. But you know when you sort of, you turn off the motorway, right, and it's like this gridlock turning off, people driving and trying to cut in who are these people?
Yeah, cunts.
Jeez.
Sort your life out. Take a look off, good Lord, look at yourself in the mirror and fucking have a word. Oh,
that is bad.
Yeah, rough. So anyway, that was probably one of the worst jobs I've ever had, right, that I did for money. The second one, this one's a bit more elaborate, right? So this was the first like proper job I had. And I was like, I got a job working for a production company and I was like, right, Hollywood, here I come. Thought it'd be the absolute dream. Actually, what they did was make like really low budget documentaries, okay? So, and what I mean, I'm the most junior person there, like making tea would be like actually a dream. I was basically just moving stuff. That was it. It was just moving stuff around for them. And they decided that they want to make a documentary on people with alternate lifestyles. But like, what that meant was they wanted to do like one of them old school Channel 4, I Married My Sofa kind of, proper weirdos, not normal people who are weird, right? So they're like looking at people and they're like, right, they find this guy and he injects snake venom into himself.
In England?
In England. Right. So you can Google him because Vice and like a few other people have made documentaries on him since, right? Yeah. So if you go on YouTube, you can check this guy out, right? He's a strange American guy, right? And so they were like, the senior people were like, basically, you need to go meet this guy.
Why is he doing this? Why is he...
What is it doing? I don't know.
And how is he not dying from that?
Well, so this is... I'll get into it when I meet him. Because when I speak to him, right? Yeah. So they're like, look, go meet him, right? Go to his flat, right? And like... speak to him, and if he seems all right and not like completely insane,
sure, it'll be fine.
Yeah, well, it's Jason Statham, right? So they're like, just go meet him, right? Just go down and meet him.
You're on your own?
Yeah, I'm on my own. And like, so I was like, okay, so he lives in a flat in North London, right? So go down there, right? Opens the door. He's an American guy. He's got sort of like shoulder length black hair, right? And he's wearing jeans and just a leather waistcoat and nothing else, right? And I'm like, hi, right? And he's like, yeah, come in. And I'm like, okay, cool, man, sweet.
Fucking hell, this is dangerous.
Well, I guess it could have been.
How old were you at the time?
I was like, I don't know, I was like 21, something, yeah? And I was like, okay, cool. But like, also, like, because I'm working for this production company and I'm like, oh, I've got my dream job. Like, I was like, whatever, I just have to go with this because I don't want my boss to have a go at me, all right? So I go into his flat, right? And I thought, oh, we'll have a bit of chit chat. We'll get to know each other. He's straight to snake shit. Just straight away, he's like, scientists are using my blood. They're using my blood for anti-venom. And I'm like, oh, okay, lovely.
No, that's nice. No cup of tea?
No, nothing. I was just like, oh, lovely. That's great, man. Yeah, sick. And so I was like, I asked him the question. I was like, so how did you get into injecting snake venom? Like, did you always know you're immune to the snake venom? And he was like, no, I went to hospital a lot, right? And I'm like, right, well, this guy's completely insane at this point. I'm like, this man is fucking a loony.
Do you have snakes?
Yeah, so this is it.
I'm sorry, I ruined your
So I'm in his flat and I can't see any snakes, right? I'm not like, oh, there's loads of snakes just like running around, right? And he's like, so we a bit more chatting about snakes and he's like, right, do you want to see him, right? So I'm like, well, I guess I did come here for this, so I've got it really, yeah? So he goes over to like, got like basically like a big airing cupboard, like a cupboard, right, in his thing. And like before he opens it, he asks me, he goes, are you a cop? Right? And I was like, no. Like, which actually, in a non-drugs related situation, that's more terrifying, you know? Like, if it's not, you're like, this is probably weird, right? Yeah. And he's like, good, because I've got 12 of the most deadly snakes in the world, right? And I'm like, okay, fucking hell, here we go. Yeah. So he opens the airing cupboard, and he's got like, they're like pull out drawers, like they look like filing cabinet things, right? Yeah. And as soon as he opens the cupboard, I can hear a snake like coming out. And I'm just like, Jesus Christ, okay, whatever, right? So then he gets a snake out, right? So he gets this like a black like cobra looking thing out, and he's got one of them, there's a snake stick?
You know what the sticks?
Yeah. So he's got a snake stick, right? And he's like, and he puts it on the floor, and he's like playing with it, right? On the floor. And I'm just sort of like, basically the other side of the room, just being like, that's a good snake, mate. Yeah, nice. Yeah, love it.
Bloody good snake, that.
Yeah, that's, looks dangerous.
Definitely a snake.
Yeah. And then he's like, right, you want to see me milk it? And I'm like, what? I guess we've come this far. Okay, cool, right? So like when he means milk the snake, he means milk its venom.
Right.
So like he gets...
How do you get a bucket?
Yeah.
And a little stool.
Little... to milk this snake venom, right? So he gets a cup, right? Like a glass cup thing. And he gets the fangs of the snake, right? And he starts pushing down on the snake's head, and like venom starts coming out into the thing, right? So it's like collecting snake venom, right? So I'm like, okay, yeah, sick. That's nice, whatever. And then he puts the snake away back in the drawer, and he's like, right, would you want to see me inject it?
Fucking hell.
So I'm like, again, like, I guess this is what I came for.
But
so.
You're just a preliminary chat.
Well, me, like, but like he.
You got no camera with you, or?
No, I've got no camera. It's just me. But he wants to, basically, I think he wants to show that he's legit. You know, he's got our production company. He's thinking like, right, well, I need to show these guys that I'm a fucking big deal or whatever. Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, he's like, right. So he does it, right? So he put it snake venom, right?
Like a syringe. Like heroin style, but just
snake venom, right? Yeah. And like instantly, he's like,
you're watching this.
Yeah,
I'm just fucking hell, man.
Yeah,
what time is this?
It's like afternoon. Honestly, it's just in the afternoon.
It's Tuesday.
It's not like 3 a.m. Bender. Yeah. It's just like right. And it's like it was a really weird experience. I was like, this is what I came here for. Like, I don't know what I was expecting. Yeah. Like, this is a bloke who says he injects snake venom. He's doing exactly what he says on the tin, right? Yeah. So he does it, right? And instantly he's like, like proper like and I'm like,
he's making a noise,
yeah, he's like like tensing up like that, right? And I'm like, are you okay, man? Are you are you good? Like, is everything okay?
You got balls of steel. I'll be shit.
Really? Oh, this is even the craziest bit, right? So then he's like, you have just done a big dose, right? Anyway, cut to
pretty big dose.
He's like, cut to. Anyway, we're in a cab to hospital, okay? Because he's like injected too much snake venom, I guess. And he's like, yeah, we should probably get this checked out, okay? So we go to hospital, we go to UCH, which is like where the snake venom unit is in central London, right?
And you need one of them.
Yeah, exactly. You wouldn't think so.
I bet they're not busy.
Yeah, I know, whatever. Rushed off their feet.
Yeah, they're like, you know, like when them crap restaurants that no one goes to, but someone comes in with a snake bottle, like, yes!
Yeah.
We get busy.
Anyway, so we get to the hospital. He knows, because obviously he's done this before, he knows exactly where he's going. As soon as he gets to the hospital, he's like, bang, straight in there.
This bloke again.
Yeah. No, literally, so we get up to the snake venom unit, right? And a doctor, right, obviously knows him. And I know he knows him because he starts like shaking his head and looking at him. Yeah. And he just looks at him and he goes, you promised. The doctor's like, you promised.
Fucking hell.
It was like the wildest like 2 hours of like my entire life.
But you know what's weird though? You're like, I don't know, like, you're like, I don't know, when you're waiting for something to happen, you're like, the Hulk or something, he does his thing and then you watch him become the monster.
Yeah.
That period of what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But even when you're watching him do the snake venom, like, what's the best? He's not going to turn into a snake.
Yeah.
Or like, there's no, like, yeah, you're going to sit. Like, that's the only thing that could have happened rather than nothing.
Yeah. The most exciting thing was that.
Yeah, because you go, do it then. And you go, how was it? Yeah, it was all right.
Yeah.
See you later then. Like,
I don't think you get high off snake
venom. Yeah, I mean, like, what else could you be waiting for? Do you want to see me do it? Because it's just the thing of doing it.
It's quite a weird, I think for him, it was just like, it's more like, it's a bit like, you know, getting successful on TikTok for a thing, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like, he found his thing that people paid attention to him for, which was stabbing himself with snake venom. Don't know why.
But yeah, there's no, yeah, I mean, you gotta ask yourself why.
Yeah.
Why are you doing this?
What? Yeah. Yeah. Like, I think he got wrapped. I don't know because I don't know him really.
Yeah.
I only met him very briefly. Well, I spent an afternoon with him, but I think he found something that he liked. He wanted to, and like, well, not liked, but like, people were like, this guy's interesting. He's a snake venom guy, you know? Because like, if you met someone, you're like, I inject snake venom, you'd be like, all right, let's have a chat. Like, you'd want to know a bit about why.
Because he obviously went from, he first off started milking the venom.
Yeah.
Then there was there might be a bit in between where he was thinking, what can I do with this venom?
Yeah.
They could have been like, just put it on his soup.
Yeah.
Well, that's not very interesting. I'm putting venom in soup. That's not good enough.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Fuck it, I'll inject it then.
Yeah. Well, like, I imagine, like, maybe he got bit by a snake. That's what I was thinking. Like, maybe he got bit by a snake and then, like, didn't die and thought, well, just crap.
Because he was impressed at the beginning by telling you.
That, yeah.
Like, and no scientists were.
Yeah.
Like, you saw the disappointed doctor.
Yeah.
He's not interested whatsoever.
Yeah, he was, like, back. He really wanted me to know that. And I think that gave him legitimacy. He really wanted me to know that scientists were using his blood to make anti-venom. And that was, like, a big deal for him.
Yeah.
Like, I think that was his reward for years of... Yeah. Injecting himself with snake.
No one. How long ago was that? That was a good while
this
ago.
This is a while ago.
I wonder if he's still around.
Yeah, if you got on YouTube, I know Vice made a documentary on him.
So he's still about. He's still doing it.
Yeah, still doing. He's alive. You know.
Yeah,
he's
alive. I mean, to be fair, he is alive. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Like, he must be something special about it.
Yeah, there's something going on. I don't know. It's just.
And did they do a story on it? Did your company?
No. So they didn't end up doing one on him, which was the mad thing. That was the maddest thing. After all of that, they did it. And we just didn't. And I think they were like negotiating with him about money or something, and it was like it just fell apart. But like, I was like, you put me through all that shit, and like nothing.
Nah, it's not really for us.
Yeah, don't need the snake venom guy. Yeah,
fucking hell, man.
Yeah, so
that is a crazy story.
Yeah, very very bizarre.
Right, we got a new question for the podcast.
Yeah.
What lengths have you gone to sleep with someone?
Okay, this is another good weird story of my life. Like, so basically, I need to set this up
right.
A bit. So
it's fine.
I went to uni, right? And like, I went to the University of Oxford Brookes, right? Which is the other uni in Oxford for people who are not smart, right? and I feel like now we were talking about young people at the beginning. I feel like people will probably go to uni now to like actually learn something good or like practical. But everyone in my generation went to uni to have a laugh and talk to girls. And that was it. Actually what you studied was so far down the line of anything. Yeah. Like, I couldn't even tell you one thing that I learned at uni, nothing. Like, it just went because like everyone was doing it and it was a laugh and that was it. So So we went, and like in first year, you're in halls, right? You're in halls, like group of lads, cool. And then and you met a group of lads. And then in second year, we moved out to this like house in Oxford. But Oxford is quite expensive. It's a bit like London, like it's quite expensive.
Yeah.
So we found this like house, but we were told by the landlord, right, there'd be a lodger in the house, but we would never see him. Don't worry about it, right? So like obviously yeah. we're 19 and
ignore the snakes.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah,
that guy again.
Yeah, yeah, that was bloody fucking snake like. Yeah. They were like, but so we found like the previous tenants like on Facebook and we were like, what's the deal with this? And they were like, basically, it'll be a locked room in the house. You will never see him. He lives in Wales, this lodger, apparently. Don't worry about it. It's all good. Okay? It's all good. So anyway, a term goes by, like no lodger. It's just like us yeah. in the house, just like normal life, whatever, right? And then we came back after Christmas and it was like a sort of like long, thin, old house with like the living room in the kitchen in the basement.
Yeah.
And like we were all just like playing FIFA or something in the living room. We just hear like, hello, hello, from upstairs, right? So we're like, what the fuck? Like, bear in mind, like we're 19, we're like, we're little kids, like yeah, yeah. we're no idea. So we're like, we go upstairs and like his door's open for the first time, oh. right? It's like a crack like that. We go in there. It's just an 80-year-old man. 80-year-old man called Mr. Kirkham, right, as we found out, sat on the bed, right? And we're like, all right, mate, how's it going? And he's like, yeah, hello. He's like, I've hurt my leg. Can one of you, I'm not going to do a Welsh accent the whole time, it's going to be awful.
Yeah, but he's like, good start.
Yeah,
it's
good start.
We know you can do it.
Off, yeah. And he was like, I've hurt my leg. Can one of you help me go to the toilet, right? So like, obviously we all have to like leave the room and have a conversation where it's like, well, I came here to do business management, mate. I don't know. Yeah, this is mad. Like, we didn't
notice him arrive.
So we had all just come back after the term from school, so it was like in that window. So we weren't back in the house yet, and we'd arrived, and he was in that room. He was there for like almost 24 hours without us knowing he was there,
right.
Which was pretty weird, anyway, yeah. right? So one of us, like my mate, helps him goes to the toilet, right? Cool. Yeah. And so we like talking to our landlord and stuff, and we're like, you know, what should we do? And he's like, oh, we'll just, you know, if he's hurt his leg, like call an ambulance or whatever, right, to make sure he's okay. So he goes off to hospital for 2 weeks, right? In that period of time, we're like talking to our landlord and we're like, look, we can't live with an 80-year-old man. Like, we're 19-year-old students. This is ridiculous. Yeah. And our landlord's like, yeah, yeah, don't worry, boys. I'll sort it. It's all good, right? 2 weeks go by, landlord's like, yeah, really sorry, lads. He's decided he wants to stay. You now just have to live with an 80-year-old man for the rest of the year. Good luck, right? So we're like, what the fuck? Like, this is just like as weird as you think it is, like, it's that weird. Like, I remember being in, like, nightclubs in and around, like, the town, and people would be like, have you heard about them boys who live with the old man? I'd be like, yeah, it's me, this is my life. Like, it's not funny. Like, there's not... People would be like, no way do you live with an 80-year-old man. I'd be like, yeah, it's Mr. Kirkham, man. Like, it's him, right? So we continue living with him, and it's like, lots of very weird things happen in that period of time. Like, it's just a surreal situation, you know? It's not normal. Like, it's just...
It's bizarre.
Is it having an 80-year-old man in your house?
Were you in the kitchen? You knock about?
Yeah, man, he was just walking around. Like, names as well. Like, as well, because, like, our landlord, like, and everyone, like, reassured us, like, he was apparently, like, he wasn't crazy. Like, he was of sane mind. Like, he wasn't, you know, there was nothing wrong with him.
Apart from the fact he lives with a lot of kids.
Yeah, it was weird.
A little bit weird.
Yeah, a bit weird. But, like, he would just, like, call us, like, very weird names and stuff. Like, we would, like, he would, like, come into the kitchen and, like, you'd be like, I'm Tom, this is Ben, this is Dave, whatever. He'd be like, Cecil. And you'd be like, you know, that's not my, you know? Yeah. And it was just weird. It was just weird vibes. Also,
I wouldn't sleep easy. That's, you know what I mean? That's
okay, so he would walk around the house like at night and stuff. See? And like, it was weird. It was bizarre. Yeah, it was probably weird.
Did he use the same bathroom as you as well?
Yeah. It's like, what can you do though? You just stuck with it. And like, no one would help us. And it was what it was. And so then this is so the getting laid thing came
in. Oh, right.
So we're living with this man, right? And so like, I'd gone on a night out, right? I'd gone out and like, I met a girl and like, at that period of time in your life, if you can meet a girl and like, this is it. This is the dream, right?
This is
why I came to you.
Yeah, this is it.
I'm living the absolute dream. And she's like, yeah, I'll come back to yours. Like, whatever, right? Okay, so I'm like, yes. So I bring her back right to the house and I leave in the living room in the basement, right? I leave her in the living room in the basement and I'm like, right, I'm just going to go upstairs because I knew I had some rum in my room, right? So I was like, right, here we go. This is it, right? Go upstairs, right? In that period of time, when I mean the worst scream you've ever heard in your entire life, Like, I thought we had been broken into. Like, so I thought something horrific, like, was going on, right? Yeah. So I came out of my room, because I lived at the top of the house, like, running down the stairs, like, meet all the other boys on the stairs on the way down, right? Yeah. Running down the stairs, running down around the stairs, right? Burst back into that room, right? This girl is just backed against the wall, just screaming her head off, right? Yeah. Having an absolute meltdown, because Mr. Kirkham's walked into the living room.
You didn't know about Mr. Kirkham.
No. I'm not like, come meet this 8-year-old man. I'm just like, I'm going to get laid here. This is it, right? Mr. Kirkham's walked into the room, right? And like, she's just like having an absolute hate trip, because this is the best thing. She thinks a crazy person's coming off the street. And I have to be like, I'm really sorry. This is actually my flatmate. This is Mr. Kirkham. I live with him. Right? Like, please don't leave, right? Yeah. And I'm like begging, I'm pleading, like, please don't leave, please don't leave, please don't leave. And she's just like having none of it, just leaves. Just
done.
Done.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was the maddest year of my life. Also, like, he would just do like really peculiar things, like, you want to watch Countdown every day, right? Yeah. So like, he'd just come into the living room and like, he'd just sit there until you put it on. Like, it was just like, if you were doing something else or like playing PlayStation, you could be having the biggest house party of your life. It was like, no, you go, Mr. Kirkham's watching Countdown.
Did you join him at a party?
Yeah, like, kind of. Yeah, you'd like walk around and like, you'd chat to people and stuff. And like, you'd have to, like, if someone was having like a big house party, you'd have to explain, like, yeah, this is Mr. Kirkham. Like, he's gonna be here. Whatever. I do remember quite a weird image of like him just like making a sandwich while we're having like a full-on house party around him. He's just like, but like, the thing that I kind of rated, obviously it was a lot of weird stuff, but like, the thing that I did rate is like, he never complained about noise or anything. Like,
yeah,
he wasn't like angry.
That's
about,
good though.
It was just like, yeah, just whatever. But it
so you didn't actually manage to seal the deal with the girl?
No.
Fuck, man.
Yeah, Mr. Kirkham.
She was so freaked out by that.
Yeah, she just was like, I'm gonna go home. And I was like, please. You know, when you're like, please.
You had your waistcoat and your V-neck
exactly.
on.
Exactly. My pecs out, my Geordie short, been to the gym, so much gym. That was it, man. I don't know, it's that period of time where like, I never used to go to the gym, nothing. And then just like, I just remember like 2020, I was like, everyone's going gym, you've got to get fucking huge.
Yeah.
Just like a loser and no one will speak to you. And like, oh man, I just remember being obsessed and just like going like every day. I wish I still had that in me. Unfortunately, not.
Yeah. Did it work out? Yeah, I sort of had that idea, but it's just like getting pissed is more important though, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. It's like talking to girls, like getting pissed. Like, yeah. I wish I still had that. Which I think it's like having, like, fair play, like, you still go to the gym and stuff. But like, since I've had a kid, like, no, like, I've never, ever, ever, like, I just haven't been in like 6 months, 7 months, I reckon.
Yeah. I think maybe that's when you're younger though, you're trying to look good for... Yeah.
And then you give up.
And then you think, fucking.
What's the point? Yeah. What am I doing this for?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that is 100% it, isn't it?
But like, you play football though, don't you? Like you said.
Yeah, like play football once a week. That's not really enough, is it?
It's like, something though, isn't it?
Yeah.
You got to keep active.
I do think the older you get as well, like if you want to look like absolutely jacked, like over the age of 30, that is an insane level of like dedication you're putting in to, you know? It's just like, I feel like you could like look like, get in good shape when you were younger pretty easily. Well, not like easily, but it's just a lot easier than it is to do now. Like, just diet.
And it's just not as enjoyable. Like, because I did that Tough Mudder thing.
Yeah.
And I did really well, actually. I think I found my thing. I mean,
what,
I,
Tough Mudder's
your
thing?
Yeah, man. I go into that sort of like survival type.
Yeah.
I mean, there is that little part of my brain. I've had it all the way around, I was thinking, I'm a soldier. You know, thing in your brain, right? Yeah. Like, you know what I mean?
You saw it kick off in Ukraine, you're like, I've got this.
Yeah.
I'm going to smash it.
That was getting me round. Yeah. You know what I mean? I can't like go into the gym. You know that thing of like reps?
Yeah.
And then put the weights down, sit there. It's so boring, isn't it? Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
And it's just that whole culture is quite a weird, dull kind of. And like, you know what I never got? Like, people who are like really into like bodybuilding documentaries and stuff.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know, and they're like, oh, like they follow all these bodybuilders and they're like really obsessive about it. And I was like, why? Like, that's just quite a boring thing to be into. Well, it's not like football or a sport that you're into it because it's like, oh, you like it and you're like watching it as a sport. It's like,
Watching men's bodies,
really, is that?
Yeah, but I sort of get it. I mean, there was a phase when I used to be really into like weight training, and it was that thing of get as big as you can.
Yeah,
that was the thing, and because I got a big appetite. Was that excuse just to eat a lot as well? You know what I mean, and I did put on quite a lot of weight and get quite strong doing it. But you'd find because if you were doing it for the ladies, the ladies didn't care.
No.
There's a men comment on it. Just men come just in. And, do you know what I mean? Just like, can I touch your arms? I'm not doing it for you.
You're not, yeah, you're not doing it. Literally, that is so true. Like, I think like there's probably a level where like women appreciate like you're in good shape. Like, there's probably like, I don't know what the threshold is. Yeah. Everything over that is just for other blokes who lift weights. It's, really it's not for anyone else.
I was saying to somebody the other day about like, on like working on building sites and stuff. It's a very like heterosexual environment.
Yeah.
But the way you prove how heterosexual you are is so gay.
Yeah.
Like, they're always like grabbing your ass and you're grabbing your dick. And if you like bend over to pick up a tool, you're getting like
slapped
bummed or it's like fucking hell, man. Like,
calm down.
Yeah. But no, I remember that, like being, because I used to live in Australia with my mate who was a personal trainer.
Right.
So we used to squatting and all that and just eating and I mean that is that fun side of it, but
just eating. It's also the diet as well. That's what would kill me. Yeah. Like the rice and chicken. It's just
protein.
Gets
and the thing as well, like you just see the word. I mean, that's the thing. You just see the word protein on things now because what marketing people have done. Yeah. People think that's a healthy word.
Yeah.
So you've got Mars bar protein.
Exactly. Yeah. You're like, what? That's still just a Mars bar with a bit more like stuff jammed in it. Yeah, it's not the same.
You say to someone like, "Oh, I need my protein," and you go, "What for?" And they're like, I don't know.
I don't know.
I've heard.
It's like protein pizzas and stuff. Does that defeat the point? Like, isn't it like, it's just sort of, why don't you just eat chicken? Why does it need to be a shape of something that you know tastes good? You know, why are you nicking the shapes?
Exactly that. But I think like even supermarkets are changing because you get like the protein section of like Sainsbury's now, don't you? Yeah. You get, like big tubs of stuff.
People are obsessed with it. It's just getting huge. But it's difficult. I think with age, like, I need to find something that's like, can like carry me through.
I think getting into a sport or something like that is good, isn't it? Yeah. That's a good way to keep healthy. Yeah. I mean, I do like running. Purely, I've got to try and keep it because I did Tough Mudder on Sunday and I haven't trained since, and it's Friday now. Right. That's my problem. It's going too intense,
too hard,
and then stopping. But you got
to
keep the momentum because the main thing about like endurance and things like that is for the brain.
Yeah,
it's so good, man. Because I find it's that thing of.
Do you find you're creative when you're running? Like, will you think of ideas and
sometimes,
stuff?
Sometimes. Because I used to do this thing of listening to podcasts and stuff, and I realise it's just distracting.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I now listen to sort of like meditation music while I'm running.
Yeah.
Because it gives you a little bit of background noise, but you're not distracted or like. Have you ever seen it when you're running and you've got a thought, but then you have got Joe Rogan banging on in your ear. Joe, it is like it's a bit like it's too much.
Yeah.
Too much going on. Do you know what I mean?
I think like I'm terrible for that, like being alone with my own thoughts. Like I'll do anything not to be. Like, you know, I'll always like podcast, music, like constantly something just like ingested into my brain.
I was sort of like that, but I realised I'm better off without it. I'm actually better. Like I think
please tell me because I think I've really have been thinking about this and I've been listening to ironically a few podcasts about it and they were saying that if you are constantly distracted, like you aren't like from a creative process, it does really stunt
it's bad. It's bad. Yeah. I reckon the trick is to becoming creative is allowing yourself to get bored.
Yeah.
You allow yourself because otherwise it's just all you're doing is just blocking out whether you're putting the telly on or putting background music or sometimes you're just blocking.
Yeah.
And that's where that instinct is to look at your phone. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm bored. Look at my phone.
Yeah.
You've got to just break that cycle where you are just looking out of a window.
Yeah.
Some of the best stuff I've written, it's just been from me walking around my house, just talking to myself.
Yeah.
Just coming up with ideas and doing everything. I got into this system when I first started to do well on social media. I told myself I was going to write a sketch every single day.
Yeah.
And I used to put on this, it's called Binaural Beats.
What happened?
I did actually manage to do it. I put on this like sort of like meditation music.
Yeah.
And just sit there and think, just sit there with no telly or nothing, just sit there like still, think, right, think of something.
Yeah.
I'd say it would always come up.
Yeah, just something. Yeah.
You've got to let that happen because I think.
The boredom. Yeah, people just ingest so much. And like, I see it now, man. I was walking around like a Uniqlo in central London the other day and literally there was a bloke just watching like the new Game of Thrones as he was going round. Like, you want to be in this world so little that you'd rather just like walking around watching.
You do
something.
Sometimes get them people talk about it, get them adverts that talk about it, it does make you feel. There's a, have you been to a cinema lately? View cinemas? There's an advert on the beginning. Famous actor on it, but he tells you about like put your phone down. He has a video of all these people being distracted by the phone, and it's you think that's me.
Yeah, that's
I've got to stop doing that. You know what I mean,
I'm quite bad for it, but my partner, she can watch an entire film while looking at her phone while that's on TV. And like, you know, she'll stare at her phone and be playing on it and have the film on in the background kind of thing.
Yeah, see,
I'll go to like change it. She'll be like, no, I'm watching that. Yeah, and you'll be like, mental, no, you're not. But you're looking at your phone. And but the weird thing is, she'll be able to tell you what's happening in that film as well, just from like the atmospheric noises going on.
Because I've discovered it myself. I've got a bit of like a sensory overload. I can't have too many.
Yeah.
I find it too hot. I get stressed.
Oh.
I've only now pinpointed it where it's coming from. If there's radio and the telly on, or I get, do you know what I mean?
Like, over it, yeah. You might be a bit on, there's a name for that. I don't know, you have to get
stressed.
Stressed, stressed,
angry
person. Right. Sensory overload.
I think we've got time for one more question.
Yep.
What's the most embarrassing thing that's happened to you?
So, I mean, like, there's like loads of like obvious ones. Like, I've just been, you know, yeah, I've had parents walk in on me with a girlfriend, shit like that. Just like, horrific. Like, it's just like, but you know, like that. It's just like, it's embarrassing. But it's like, I don't think it's like, it's awkward and it's like it's embarrassing. But like at the end of the day, like I always think with that kind of thing, you're like, oh, you get over it.
You know, need to get to the point where you can laugh about it.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you're
like, well, whatever, right? But this one like actually hurt because it was so pathetic. Like it was so pathetic. So again, this is like. This was the second job I ever had, actually. Again, similar thing, like working in production, right? And I was working for a production company again, and I'm proper dyslexic. Like, when I mean like, not just like a bit, like, it does piss me off, actually, when people are like, oh, I'm dyslexic. Like, it's like, are you actually, or are you just saying that?
Yeah.
You know, because people just talk out of shit. Like, people would be like, oh, I'm dyslexic. I think I'm dyslexic. It's like, nah, like, get tested, and then we'll see. You might just be thick. You know, I do think
People say it like if they get a word wrong, oh, I'm dyslexic. They just as a sort of joke passing.
People are like, oh, didn't pick up my kids. Dyslexic? Like,
yeah.
What do you mean? Like,
no.
You know, anyway, so what I would do. And like this is where it gets really pathetic. Like if I had like quite a lengthy document, right, that I like had to type out, and like this is probably pathetic. I would send it to my mum to spell check for me. Like so I'd just be like because she's retired, and like she would just like quickly check it over for me, right? Like if it was like really important. But obviously, like being dyslexic, I do like get confused and stuff sometimes, right? So I was in like a long email chain. I had to send an email, this like proposal to this guy. We were working, doing this thing for like, I was like BP or something, right? We were doing like, going to do some filming for them, right? So I had to send this like big proposal over, and I was in this email chain with this like senior management guy at BP, right?
Yeah.
And my boss as well. So I was like, right, I'm going to send this over. So I emailed over to my mom, right? Like, and I was like, oh, can you check this, right? But what I did was, I didn't just send it to her. I CC'd her into that email chain, right? So my mum checked through it, and then she emailed back, right, with the corrected document, being saying, "Well done on the spellings, Tom." Well done on the spellings, Tom. You've really improved. She said, "You've really improved."
Gold star.
Oh, fucking hell! And like the second I saw it, like, you know, when you're just like, you look at something and like. Like I just remember I just shut my laptop and I was just like, there's no coming back.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's done. And like, oh my God, I remember my boss like pulling me in and just being like, what the fuck is just like,
you can laugh about it when you explained it. You could laugh.
I just had to explain it, but like he was kind of a prick to me. Yeah. But like he just wasn't finding it funny.
Oh really?
Yeah, it was just like, you know how like embarrassed because I think if it had just been him, I think maybe, but because it had like a client that you were working
with.
It's like the just like that heart sick. Have you ever had that one of them moments where you're like, I'm totally fucked? Like,
it's anything like that sending, isn't it? And you see the send. I did this is like years ago, but like because I started doing my own, I used to have a carpet fitting business, right? And I didn't realize like I'm not good at computers and stuff like that, I'm really not good at it. And I don't know what I had, but I had like your YouTube account linked to your Gmail or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I gave myself like a silly, you know, I tried to make videos years ago. And I gave myself a silly name, right? And the name was Ronaldo Ballbag, right? That's from Ronaldo Ballbag. I don't know. And
classic.
I don't know what I'd
were
done.
We doing football related like videos?
No, I just thought it was a funny name, like Ronaldo Ballbag. I just thought on the spot, what do you call yourself?
Yeah.
Ronaldo Ballbag.
Yeah,
just said that, that's funny.
Like my first email was like badman32.
Yeah. But it wasn't the email, it was the username of the YouTube. I'd made an email account. I don't know what I'd done basically, right? And I started a carpeting business and I thought I'd use that email because it was Jack Skipper at whatever, Hotmail, I don't know what it was, right? And so I was emailing back clients with like quotations and things like that.
Yeah.
And no one was getting back to me. And I realised they was receiving emails from Ronaldo Ballbag. Like, I went around all
he's,
of...
he's this weirdo. Ronaldo Ballbag is...
Like, I was going
they
around...
probably honestly thought it was like a wind-up or something. It's like, it's an idiot.
The thing is, like, I'd go around all professional. Like, I'd got a little logo made, like, carpet samples, and like, oh, that guy is a very professional, slick young man. And you get an email through from Ronaldo Ballbag. It took me fucking ages to work out.
And, why you're getting no business.
I think I'd like sent an email to a friend and like, you do know your name is Ronaldo Ballbag. Right. Ah, no. Fucking hell. But I didn't get embarrassed. I just thought, oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
That is funny.
Yeah, you know, you've got to accept it. And like, yeah. Do you ever get any, like when you're in carpet fitting, do you ever get people just making, like, ridiculous requests or just things that are completely impossible? Or just like, this is just stupid?
Yeah, yeah. But the worst thing to do is when you're like, is when you say, I've done the job since I left school, when people know better than you.
Right.
Do it like that. You're like, no, what do you talk about? You know what I mean? I know how to, it's fun. One thing I liked about doing carpets and that sort of thing is I think it's been really good for my comedy because I was going into like three or four different houses a day, right? And for observational comedy,
you're getting to see everyone.
You're on the front line.
Yeah.
You're on the front line. So if you I had a sketch once that really blew up about mums and their sons. You know when a bloke has split up with his missus, he goes to live with his mum, and his mum will keep defending him,
right,
even though he's an absolute wrong one. Do you know what I mean? He's cheating on her, he's spending all the money. Yeah. That actually happened.
Not my boy.
Yeah. The bloke was living around his mum's house,
yeah,
and his mum was going, but you work hard.
Yeah.
You work. And he's just an absolute wrong one. And I just, anything you see in someone's house, you think, I know that situation.
Yeah.
You get, I honestly think that's why I'm all right at the observational stuff, because I'm like it anyway. I'm always very observant, and I take things on. And if you just, I think that's one thing. It was good.
Yeah, it's about it on the front line. You get in and see the interior. Do you find that people's houses are pretty similar inside as well?
Yeah, you get that. You'll get the stock. It's like you'll get the young family who bought all that stuff from IKEA.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, and you'll see like they've all got their thing in their bathroom that just says soak.
Oh,
yeah. Do you see? You see them? Yeah. They've all got that. It's like, and then you get like
the ladies, the grey living room. Do you see that? Yeah, the grey and silver.
I did a sketch about that. Yeah,
that is such a I don't know what point, because for a period of time, obviously that was like people wanted that, and then like something happened. It's just like that's just gone to shit. You can't have grey silver.
And there's a good one where it's like you'll get someone has obviously gifted someone. Someone's gifted their mum a canvas of a photo they liked, and it's their really bad quality canvas photo. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. But the mum doesn't get, oh, that's lovely.
Oh, it's mine's been on a mantelpiece.
Yeah. It's like someone's like arm's been cut off. It's a really shit quality.
shitty, yeah.
Yeah.
Just those interior things, just like shitty things you can buy online. As
yeah,
well.
Yeah,
you
know,
yeah. Quite, that's proper interesting as well, seeing that, like in the interiors of people's houses.
Yeah, it is. So, what's the future? What's going on?
For me?
Yeah, yeah.
So, I'm debating now. Well, you know Edinburgh. You've conquered it, a bit of it anyway. Yeah. So I'm now gonna like work towards. I've got to do an hour next year. I know I've got to do it.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to get everything lined up to do that. And so like I'm just gonna be doing previews and like, you know, like as many gigs as I possibly can to try and get that smashed on and like actually have a good hour to go up with.
Yeah, that's good.
And then that, and then just follow me on all social content as well. So banging out sketches constantly, and like I'm gonna improve. At the moment I do like two a week, I think, like on TikTok, and then like one a week on Instagram. But I know that's not good enough. I think it needs to
Sometimes when you get to a point where you've got a certain amount of following, like I think a lot can be down to quality instead of quantity sometimes. Do you know what I mean? Because like once you find your bit of your rhythm with it, and you know when something's going to bang, you'd rather just do one of them a week. Because you found your thing now, and you're sort of, do you feel like you have, or?
I think like, it's quite difficult because I think a lot of what I do, a bit like you as well, is like if it's to do with a news cycle. So like for me, the things that like really explode and like go nuclear is like, well, the only times it has done for me is when it's been about something that's been going on in the news.
Yeah.
So like, conceptually think of something that's like funny. So like the thing I did a thing where I bought Boris Johnson a birthday cake, right? When all that thing and like that just went like crazy. And so I've done a few things when it was hot. I did a thing about heat waves or whatever. Like, you know, it's just whatever's going on in the news cycle. And then, so I want to find a thing that I can do that's not news related as well, just because it gives you that like bit of content that you can like chuck out.
Sometimes you've got to try and tap in to It's that what I was saying before about emptying your mind. Don't be distracted, because you'll get a sense of what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
And you want it, because you don't want to just make it like, because I did the two other recently. One was about the David Beckham in the queue thing. Because it's, you know, it's not a main news story. It's just a little thing that's going on. You can make a bit light, although it is a bit about the Queen, but you can make it a sort of light of it.
I think as well for topical stuff like that. Yeah. I think that definitely does better on Instagram that has a slightly older audience, because like, they're just more.
Yeah, yeah.
Not saying that kids don't know watch the news, but yeah. You know, they're more of aware of it as opposed to like a younger audience who are just like.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's it. You just get a sense of. And you got to do what you like anyway. Do something you find funny. Enjoy it, innit?
Does it ever piss you off, like, when you just, like, you, like, spend a lot of time and effort, like, thinking up, like, creating a sketch and, like, you're, like, even buying props or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then you just see some, like, twat kid just, like, sat on his sofa being like, don't you think that? Yeah. Something just so shit and, like, just nothing. Yeah. Or, like, see someone just, like, fall over and it's got, like, 10 million views and you're like, what am I doing?
I learned a long time ago, don't put any effort into because it's such a horrible feeling when it doesn't work. You know what I mean? And then even the sadder when you're crying in a wig.
Yeah.
Taking your wig back to the shop. It didn't work. You just go back there with your mum.
The wig. There's a few comics who have done it. I always take the piss out of the guy I do my podcast, but for his wig collection.
It's I've got one.
You got to do it.
Yeah. So,
fucking hell.
But no, it's been good, man.
Yeah, man. Good chat.
Oh,
at Tom Elwes, ELWES. So, yeah.
Tom.
Yeah. Check it out.